You've got it.
Wake up, everybody. It's You Get the Blessing.
On the road again.
Don't you change it to on the air again.
On the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again.
Nothing like a little Willie to wake up to.
On the road again. Going places that I've never been. Seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again.
All right. Thanks for tuning in this morning, everybody. We are on the road again here with You Get the Blessing today. I'm Bo Mitchell, and this is Bob Belts.
Bo, you know, when we started playing that song, I was thinking about the movie that Willie was in, Electric Horseman with Robert Redford. And you know what I remember about that is that we, my wife and I went to see that, and during the movie she went into labor, and we had a baby. So it's hard to forget that.
So you left the movie and you were on the road again to
we
the hospital.
On the road to the hospital. That's right.
And how long have the two of us been on the road together?
Let me see, since 1980.
Wow. 1980, we've been doing ministry together, variety of things, started a few churches, a lot of men's groups, a lot of men's retreats, a lot of couples retreats, and this program, You Get the Blessing. And sometimes on this program, we kind of eliminate the guest interview and just do a show together talking about what we call tips from the team.
We become our own guests.
Yes. And have a ministry unto ourselves, we call it. But I'm comfortable doing it because I don't know anybody that knows the Bible better than Bob Belts. He's
there are a lot of guys, by the way, that do know the Bible a lot better than I do.
I don't think so. Smartest man in the world, I like to call him. So you're safe listening here today. I, on the other hand, can't even remember anything I learned at seminary. Bob just made me go. I did graduate, but I like having Bob here. And today we're going to talk about core issues that are going to hopefully simplify the scriptures, the Bible, the whole Christian faith issue for some of you listeners who maybe are like me. I find it much easier to read Sports Illustrated or just bubblegum for my mind, whether it be the internet, the television set, even talking to someone else, when in fact the life-changing truth we need, we find in the Holy Scriptures, left behind for us by God himself, protected, written by men, but protected through the years by God himself. So I don't know where to start with this, Bob, other than say, why does it seem so complicated when people pick up a Bible, that here we start in the Old Testament and we have to plow through all of this old Jewish history and tradition, and then we jump into the life of Christ and go way to the end, and we just give up somewhere along the way and say, I'd rather just listen to somebody else talk or watch television.
Well, I think part of the reason we find it complicated probably is partially because of the way that when this book was put together, it was put together the way it was. So really what you have is you have 66 different documents that are all compiled and put together into what we call the Bible. So the Old Testament was, 39 different documents that were part of the Jewish culture and God's revelation to them and through them. And as you said, it's there's a mix of things in there. There's history that tells sort of the history of the Jewish people. There's prophecy where, God spoke through men to the nation and other nations. And then there's even what's called poetry, which are five books that are found right in the middle of the Old Testament that were really were sort of the poetic and wisdom literature of the Hebrew people. Well, I think what's confusing is that it's not put together chronologically. It's not really put together in a way that makes it easy if you don't know what's going on, to kind of put it together in the terms of the fact that there's one story that really runs throughout the whole book, but it isn't in order. So if you know where the story is found, then also everything else in there sort of fits, chronologically somewhere. under the story. And if you don't kind of know the story, a lot of times those things that fit underneath don't make a lot of sense to us. So it gets very confusing for a lot of people. It's not a book you want to sit down and start necessarily on page one and read straight through. You kind of need to know what's in there and then, you know, decide how am I going to tackle this thing. So anyway, I think the very fact that it's put together in a way that for a lot of people is confusing, it gets people to the point where, you know, they'll hit something that, you know, like the book of Leviticus, and they're reading all about these sacrifices or some of these genealogies or whatever. And you know, you just kind of, a lot of people just give up.
And why do we feel sort of guilty? I have felt this before. I've read the Bible cover to cover, but I think people feel guilty that they haven't sat down and read it as a book, first page to last page. And I'd like maybe to let people off of that guilt today and remove that and say that's, you don't get points for that. But I wonder why that's a prevalent thought that people have is, shucks, I just can't quite get the thing read cover to cover.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's helpful to have a guide. And by the way, I wasn't even thinking about this when we decided to talk about this morning, but I actually wrote a book that helps people understand the Bible and how it fits together and gives some very practical, you know, ways to do what you're talking about. And, you know, it's called Becoming a Man of the Word. And although it was initially directed primarily toward men, because you and I were doing so much work in men's ministry, it's my wife's favorite book. My wife actually, who, you know, fortunately likes me
a lot,
said it's her favorite book I've ever written. But the problem is she can never get through it because as she's reading it, she gets so excited about reading the Bible that she puts the book down and goes and reads the Bible. So that's a pretty good endorsement, I think. But it's called Becoming a Man of the Word, and it's available on Amazon. I think you can get it used for like almost nothing, you know. But anyway, I think a tool like that is helpful, just, you know, to try and at least give some sort of a context to what you're doing. I think the other thing that was real helpful to me, you know, I'd never read the Bible, and I was a college student when I first really seriously started looking at Jesus Christ and, you know, who he was and what it meant to have a relationship with him. And that was really my kind of my introduction to the Bible also. And our mutual friend, who's now gone to be with Jesus, Rich Beach, the first thing he challenged me to do was just to read the Gospel of John. And I think that is a good place to start, to pick one of the Gospels, whether it's John or Luke is great. Luke is a little bit more chronological and comprehensive, but it's just the life of Jesus. So what you're reading is just a story, and it's a story is the life of Jesus. And it's really very easy to understand that part of the Bible. It's relatively easy to understand the book of Acts, which tells the story of the first 30 years of church history. Actually, many of the Old Testament books that are simply telling about the history of Israel are, you know, they're relatively easy to understand. You get into some of the prophets, it can get quite complicated. And so, again, for me, that tip to start out in the Gospel of John was great because I read it, I loved it, and it really motivated me to begin reading other parts and try and understand them.
So, not to write our own Bibles, as I've heard it said, by underlining parts or coming up with a set of cliff notes, but you have used the word core of truth before in the Bible. So just to kind of encourage people to think about the simplicity of it rather than the complexity of it as a starting point, the simplicity of what's said here, what you just said about the book of John really is that core of truth. And I want you to go through that, and then I want you to discuss how, through the centuries, men have packaged or even mispackaged that core of truth in so many strange ways, in some cases, that throws us off of getting to the simplicity. In other words, it's like men have layered in complexities that throw us off and get us off of the simple truth that you teach when I hear you preach or teach on the Bible. And so define the simple core of truth, and then discuss the packaging of man and how that fits and what we should accept and reject.
I think it's a good point, that just pointing that out, because I also think that most people that would say, I'm not religious, or I don't believe in God, or I don't believe in Jesus, whatever, oftentimes what they have rejected is the package, and they've never actually been able to get to the core that we're talking about, because for whatever reason, their experience of the package has been so, unfavorable, or, just that maybe they've had horrible experiences, and consequently they think that God, they've kind of rejected God, but they really haven't. They've sort of rejected a caricature of God that's based upon the package. But let's go back to the core. I'd say, first of all, if someone were just to say to me in one sentence, what is the Bible? What is the message of the whole book? And I would probably say, God exists and loves you. I think that that's at the heart of the entire book.
What can I add? God exists and loves you, and through Jesus Christ wants you to have a relationship with him.
See, and I would add that as point number three. I was just getting ready to say that. So,
okay. So what's two?
God exists, he loves you, and he has expressed that ultimately through Jesus. And through Jesus, you can actually have a relationship with him and experience his love. So
okay, so say those again.
Okay,
I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. God exists. He loves you. He's expressed his love through Jesus. And then through Jesus, you can know him and you can experience his love. So that's kind of it would be a full circle of what the heart of the overall message, if you just took it all and boiled it down to its essence, I think that's really what the message
is. So somebody says, describe the World Series to me this year between the Cardinals and the Red Sox, Bo. I guess I could go into the starting pitchers in each game. I could go into one game ended with an obstruction call. One game ended with a guy getting picked off first base. David Ortiz went 11 for 16, won the MVP, batting over 600 in the series. And for the first time in 95 years, Boston won the World Series at their home field at Fenway Park. Or I could just say it was a great series. Boston won 4-2. In six-game series, and that's really what you need to know.
Yeah. And I think, it's funny, because back when I did not believe, I have to say, I didn't even know what I didn't believe. Let's put it that way.
Same here.
But back in those days, I'd get so hung up on, things that were, again, steering me away from the core. For one thing, I was a college student, and I was going to a state university where, as far as I know, none of my professors were Christians, and I had several that were extremely antagonistic toward Christianity. And when I would hear them talk about it, I'd kind of buy into what they were saying, so that even when I would say things like, well, you can't really trust the Bible, for instance, which I'm sure I said to people, I was really probably mimicking something they had said without two things. Number one, without ever reading it, and again, we've talked about this before, but a lot of times if I'm just in a conversation with someone and they say something like, well, the Bible is just a book that, made up by men or whatever, I always like to just ask, have you ever read it? Seriously. And again, because 95% of the time, the person that is saying that to me hasn't, And so, so I try to sort of lovingly or gently say, well, you really should read it to know what it is you don't believe, and then kind of point them, toward, again, maybe toward one of the Gospels, which, record the life of Christ. And if they say, well, I don't really believe in Jesus, that what I need to know is, well, what does that mean? I mean, do you not believe he existed historically? Because I would say rarely would a major historian today that has really looked at the evidence surrounding what we know about Christ would deny that he existed. Now, they might not believe he was the Son of God. They might not believe in the resurrection. But the fact that he existed historically is validated not only in the Bible, but in, you know, most of the historians of the era, and certainly within the second and third century. But anyway, again, it's what you don't even know what you don't believe in. So so pointing people again to kind of say, well, why don't you, you know, at least why don't you read, you know, let's say John, and then let's get back together and talk a little bit about it. But again, the message of John, if you were to break that down, so here's one of 66 books. What's the message of John? Well, I'd say that it's this, that God exists. He loves you. He's expressed it in Jesus Christ, and through Jesus Christ, you can actually have a relationship with him and experience his love. So John reflects in and of itself its primary message, this bigger message. Now, I think at the core, there's other things, obviously, that tie into that or flesh that out. But it's almost like if that's the core, then around that initial core is a little bit of biblical, you know, packaging. But it's not that outside package that gets us distracted, like, well, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites, which is probably true, you know, so, but why don't, you know, but we're all hypocrites. So, you know, the point of the Christian message is kind of like, we're all bozos on this bus, is the expression we used to like to use, simply because we're all flawed. And what we come together when you come to Christ, ideally what that community is, it's a group of people that understand that, you know, that we really needed a God that loved us, and we can't work to earn his favor, but he gives it freely, which is another one of the major core truths of the Bible. I would say that's different from every other world religion or philosophy in the world, is that at the heart of the message of Scripture is a concept called grace, that God loves us, and that, again, he treats us with grace, meaning that it's not something we can earn, so you can't do enough good things to fit on one side of the scale to outweigh the bad things on the other side of the scale, because God isn't even looking at the scale. He doesn't operate that way. You know, he's looking at you and in love saying, I'll give you this gift. I want to express my love for you by providing a way for not only for your, you know, blunders and sins to be forgiven, but really a way to, you know, to have a relationship with me so that you and I can, you know, be in a loving relationship. And that's what Christ accomplished by what he did on the cross.
So back to the simplicity of it. You met Allison, your wife. Been married how many years now?
40 this year.
And I'm 43 this year with my wife, Gary. So we didn't sit around when we met them and say to ourselves, I have 150 things I need to know about you before I'm even going on the second date or the fourth month or think about engagement or consider marriage. We said more like, wait a minute, I've never met anyone like you. You're meeting my needs. We have this in common. How fast can we get engaged and get married? Wouldn't you say that's more what happened?
Yeah, yeah. And probably if we would have just focused on all the little things, we never would have gotten married.
So comparing that to what we do with Christ and the packaging of this simple love you talk about in the Bible, it's just interesting that something as important in our lives as marriage will sort of jump into and not worry about fringe issues, whereas with the Bible, okay, I'm not jumping in here. I'm not going to believe in Jesus until I can be convinced that every square inch of this thing makes sense and is, you know, what I really am interested in is why is there poverty and why are people dying and why is there pain and why were there wars in the Old Testament, and how can we encourage people today just to stay on this simple look? There's a love relationship you can have with God that'll change everything. It starts, though, with cutting through the complexities and getting to the simple core truth.
Well, for one thing, as you're saying that, part of what strikes me too is that there's nothing wrong with having doubts about some of these issues, but what I've discovered through the years is that when you first of all, I start with Jesus. I don't start with trying to figure out exactly how God created. I do believe that he did create. So, trying to start out by battling maybe the theory of evolution, it's probably not a great starting point. For me, the starting point was Jesus. Did he exist? Is there good reason historically to believe he existed? Can I trust what these four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is it accurately portray who he was, what he did? And, you're going to stumble over some of that because, most of us have been drilled into as kind of an anti-supernatural bias. So you read a miracle and you're going to wrestle with that. Well, that's okay. Keep going until you get the whole story here. So did he exist? Yes. Can I trust that I have, an accurate record of what he said? And I've got to say, if you do the homework and go back and research, when are the earliest documents that we have? What did the, really immediate writings that come out of the, first, really more second, third century church, how do you explain the reality of the existence of those early followers of Jesus, apart from that his existence, and not only his existence, but that he really did rise from the dead, the resurrection. I mean, if you take the time to explore those things, I think there's plenty of evidence to lead to a logical response to that. And if you start there, and try and kind of get those pieces in place, then, you can kind of move out from there and start trying to figure out the rest of the things that you struggle with. And the answers are out there, by the way. I think that rarely is a question raised. Let's say something like, why is there so much suffering in the world if God exists? And really, the only adequate explanation that I find to that is the biblical explanation of the fall and the consequences of the fall, because if you're going to deal with that issue, you have to say, but in a world where there's that kind of suffering and pain and difficulty exists, you also have to recognize that there's also beauty and love and, all of this goodness that exists in the world. How can both of these things exist in the same world? And can there be any explanation for that? And again, the Bible answers that. So it's not a pessimistic life has no meaning, no purpose, but it's also not a Pollyanna, everything's great and, love, love, love. It recognizes the reality of evil and the existence of evil and difficulty and pain and suffering and gives an explanation for that and how God can exist and yet these things be part of the reality of the world.
So you get the blessing. Bob Belts, who was just speaking, Bo Mitchell, your co-host here, exists because we want people to be blessed. Normally, it's through meeting a guest. Days like today, it's through what we call tips from the team, just us talking about a topic. And the topic today, if I could just cut through the fog, as our friend and author, consultant Bob Beal says, and arrive at a single word focus. Cutting through the fog that you may feel as you think about the Bible and things regarding faith issues, the single word focus would just be the love of God through Jesus Christ. So
That's more than a single word, Bo, but I get you.
Jesus, yeah. Then. Okay, no. So I guess I'm saying explore this, folks. It's exciting. It's not complicated or, a C+ ex-jock like me couldn't have signed up. I came to Christ emotionally. Think when I heard this was available to me, I thought, well, that makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't everybody do that? And I remember Don Revert saying to me, well, let's just talk about you. Let's think about everybody else. What do you want to do with it? And I said, I want in. What do I do? and he prayed with me that I would receive Christ. From that point, knowing nothing, I have grown in my relationship with Christ. As you said, doesn't mean I'm less flawed or less of a mess up than I used to be. I just have a Lord that forgives me. And I do, you do learn and add and read and grow as you, just like a little child, grow up in your faith. But rather than being snagged on the complexities of it, what we're saying is the simple core of truth in the Bible is the blessing that God has for us today. So I think you said it well, Bob, and I'd ask you to say it again here in closing, what people can focus on just to cut through the fog, get it down to where it's simple.
Well, if you've never read the Bible at all, or not in a long time and you have a problem with it, I would just encourage you to read the Gospel of John. It's not lengthy. It's about the length of a short story, actually. And you could probably read it in a couple of hours. But I think that what you should look for in that is, first of all, look for how often it does talk about the love of God. Probably the most famous Bible verse or most well-known in the world is from there, John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. Well, that's a powerful verse, but the whole book is kind of filled with, first of all, just the life of Jesus. So who was this guy? You know, what did he do? What did he claim? What do I think about that? And what should my response be to it? So I would start there, Gospel of John. And again, the other encouragement would simply be to say that if you look at the rest of the whole book, what you're going to see is that underlying everything that's there in the Scripture is this message of God does exist. He's real. He's personal. He loves you, and he's expressed that in Jesus.
Dig in there, folks, and understand you don't have to dig too deep. Just get the simple love of Christ in the book of John, and you're on board. See you next week here. You get the blessing, and thanks, Bob, for all the insight.
You bet. See you later.
Life I love is making music with my friends. I can't wait to get on the road again.